baby back door, baby fall off, sipping codeine cause I got a killer cough. Let me sit sideways in the big bins. Oh, you boys, they my brothers, they my friends.
There's not one guy, one person in the history of this program that's bigger than the program.
Mayfield on play action.
You're listening to Brandon Drum and Parker Thune. This is the OU Insider Under the Visor podcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another OU Insider Under the Visor Sooners podcast powered by Riverwind Casino. My name is Brandon Drum. Parker Thune, this is the 5 days out from the college football playoff, Oklahoma, Alabama. Got to talk to Taylor Wine, Fabechi Wewu. Who else was there?
Isaiah Satania and Owen Heineke.
Yes, all four of those. Tomorrow, we'll get four other ones, including John Mateer, Ben Arbuckle, and Brent Venables. So we will have all that for you, plus a post-practice blitz, plus we have a huge national guest, as always, during big games with Jake Crane coming on with us as well later on this week to talk about the matchup, college football, the playoffs, and the chaos going on in Ann Arbor. We are going to talk about all that as well here, plus recruiting, transfer portal, all of the above. It's going to be a jam-packed podcast for you all. But before we do all that, Parker, let's thank our sponsors.
Yes, indeed, folks. Riverwind Casino is our presenting sponsor. They have been the OKC area's premier gaming destination for nearly two decades now. Almost 3,000 electronic games, table games, bars, and dining options, plus the best live music in the metro. It is no surprise that Riverwind is always a good time. Thanks as well to our great friends at Janneking, delivering spotless results and solutions from stadiums to any size business across the country. Janneking is the king of clean and a proud partner of OU Athletics. Check out which of their solutions is best for you or your business by going to janneking.com. That's janneking.com. A quick word from Hollow Socks. Folks, it is winter. It is cold out, especially in the state of Oklahoma, especially on a day like today. Walked out this morning, and that chill bites. It does, which is why you need to get yourself a pair of Hollow Socks. These socks are made with alpaca fibers, ultra soft baby alpaca fibers, engineered for rugged conditions and designed to keep your feet dry, warm, and comfortable no matter where the day takes you. The great thing about these socks is that not only will they keep your feet warm when it's below freezing out, but they'll cool you off when the temperature hits 80 degrees, so you can wear them year-round for hunting, for hiking, for camping, or for just living life. Go with Hollow Socks, made in the USA. Over 2 million pairs sold to date. Once you wear Hollow, you're never going to go back to those $10 grocery store socks again. Those Hanes, Fruit of the Loom, whatever socks you wear, once you try Hollow, you're never going back. Hollow doesn't just make socks for the outdoors. They've engineered them for every activity. And for a limited time, Hollow Socks is having a buy two, get two free sale. So head to hollowsocks.com today to check it out. That's hollowsocks.com for up to 50% off your order. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. You can support our show and by telling them that we sent you. And finally, folks, kind of hand in hand with Hollow, meet Brunt Workwear and the Marin Work Boots. If you're not already acquainted with the Marin work boots from Brunt, here's what you need to know. Choosing work boots used to mean sacrificing comfort or durability. If they felt good, they didn't last. And if they lasted, they wrecked your feet. Brunt thought that was BS. So they built tough boots that feel great from day one. No break-in, no sore feet, because people out there doing the real work shouldn't have to choose between comfort and durability. If you've been looking for the perfect gift for a hardworking man in your life, or if you are the hardworking man in need of a new pair of work boots, get something from Brunt. Their boots and apparel are something he'll actually use and keep him comfortable on the job all day long. Plus, Brunt stands behind what they make. You can wear them to work, and if they're not right for you, send them back. It's a no-risk gift. So with temps dropping, And the holidays coming up, it's time to treat yourself or the hardworking man in your life to real comfort. Skip the throwaway gifts and get him something built to last. Brunt Workwear. Brunt isn't just about work boots. They offer a full range of high-performance gear built for tough jobs, from heavy-duty work pants to weather-resistant jackets. Brunt designs durable, reliable workwear to keep you protected, protected and productive, excuse me, in every condition. Our listeners are going to get $10 off their entire order with code OU Insider at checkout. That's bruntworkwear.com and use code OU Insider. Order today and let them know you heard about them here on the show.
All right. So Parker, today, you know, for players, the playoffs, for those that don't know, they have a rule. It's mandatory that you get 2 days of interviews with the players. You know, most OU, being the way that they are, they split up what we would normally get and they put it in 2 days. Very smart on their part, by the way. I always commend them on how they do things. However, Taylor Wine, like we talked about, Isaiah Cetania, Fabeci Wewu, and Owen Heineke spoke today. What, I'll tell you mine, but was there anything that stood out to you with anything that they said? Anything?
I mean, I think Isaiah Cetania, unprompted, shouting out John Mateer was notable, especially because Mateer has taken a lot of flack here throughout the second half of the season. Even as Oklahoma has been winning games, the public opinion of John Mateer has steadily gone down. His approval rating has steadily gone down. But I thought it was interesting to hear Isaiah Cetania, again, unprompted, say, hey, look, the reason our offense has been able to come up with crucial plays and crucial moments is because of John. He plays his best in those types of moments. And when you look at what's happened this season, that's not 100% the case. That's not always the case. Obviously, you can look back to the Texas game for evidence that sometimes the lights are really bright and John Mateer is not at his best. There's not a 100% correlation there. But you can also rewind to moments like LSU just a couple of weekends ago, Brandon, where he throws three interceptions. The Sooners are trailing with under 5 minutes to play. And he comes up with a big throw to Isaiah Cetania to put the Sooners in front for good. And so, man, it feels as though if Oklahoma is going to get to where they're capable of going in the college football playoff, they're going to need more from John Mateer. They're going to need the best version of John Mateer, whatever that looks like. That might be the Michigan game for John Mateer, a game in which, all told, he played pretty pedestrian football, but it was mistake-free, clean football. If that's all you get from John Mateer, if that's the absolute best he has, well, the good news is you've got a defense and you've got a special teams unit featuring a Groza Award winner, by the way, congrats to Tate Sandell, that is going to be good enough to take care of what needs to be taken care of elsewhere.
Yeah, so totally agree with that. And we're going to have to talk about that because there's a lot of talk coming from Tuscaloosa. It's kind of been funny. To me, it's been hilarious. Just because, and the OU media, to our credit, didn't bring it up, by the way, or ask the question, the low-hanging fruit of, what did y'all think of some of the things the Bama players have said about you all taking photos and all that time? I mean, they were snippy last week at their pressers. And Kobe McKenzie said it was going to get snippy. Like, they could foresee it coming. And you can tell Taylor Wine the way that he went. And he was up there, I believe, close to 11 minutes. Mind you, he and Owen Heineke had long pressers. Like, they were up there for a while. And they gave some really succinct answers. Just, they were really good about how they answered the questions and were verbalized how they felt about certain situations without poking the bear, which was good. But what I thought was most interesting was two things. One, Owen Heineke is a DJ, Taylor Wine is not. So we figured that part out. Two, Owen Heineke could come back, which is something we kind of thought and knew, but to hear that question posed and to hear that he is actually in the works of getting that processed out, I would have to imagine they would give, if anybody's going to get another chance, it's going to be him, because how could you hold his time in lacrosse against him? Like, I think that would be, as far as football went, and I get it. He used, you know, a year of eligibility out there on lacrosse, but he spent the vast majority of his career as a football player. There has to be some give and take there, much like they do with JUCOs. Like, if you're crossing over and you did not play the sport that you're finishing off with in a consecutive manner, does that make sense? Like, four consecutive years of playing football, you redshirted one of your years of football. Why don't you just give them a chance and let them fulfill their dream out and play the 5 years of football? You know, five to play six or four, excuse me, five to play four kind of deal, like you would anybody else. Because he transferred schools, didn't even touch a football field, came in, walked on, mind you. You would think that would be an easy yes from, and you know that Brent Venables is going, please, Lord, let Owen Heineke come back, because he's gotten so much better. But the focus of the team, man, we saw it last week with Kobe McKenzie, Eli, and Peyton, and how they were talking. And yeah, we talked to Tate Sandell, but he's always focused. I really kind of put him kind of in his own little category. He's so much better than everybody else at his position. Their focus, the drive, the you can tell there's a little bit of an edge from OU players right now, that they have a let's just say they know what's being said down in Tuscaloosa, but they're not touching it. They don't want to touch it. And since nobody's asking, why should they touch it? Why even acknowledge it when they're acknowledging it behind the scenes? And we know that. I know that because I've talked to people. They're well aware of what's being said down in Tuscaloosa, Parker. Well aware. Have you paid any attention to it last week, early this weekend?
Are you talking about the, we're going to address the disrespect comments?
All that talk, yes. All that talk. And oh, you didn't disrespect them at all, I didn't think.
I mean like, I'll be completely honest, Brandon. I
know you don't care, but I mean,
it's, well, like, it's not that I don't care. It's that I think there's almost been an equal measure of that coming from the OU side. Like, we've heard Oklahoma, and we've heard the OU players talk with a little bit of swagger.
For sure. That's what I was like, saying. Sure.
Yeah, like from
Kobe
McKenzie, and it wasn't necessarily directed at Alabama, but Kobe McKenzie making the comment about how Texas Tech linebacker, and he didn't mention Texas Tech, but we all knew he was talking about when he said their linebackers aren't comparable to ours. And, you know, Taylor Wine coming out today and saying, hey, our mentality is we're not going to lose. We're going to find a way to win the game. Like,
yeah,
it's cool and it's encouraging to hear Oklahoma start to talk like a serious contender in college football, because they've been playing like one, but it's almost as if emotionally they've rounded into their final form. Like, there is a very robust sense of belief in not only what they can accomplish, but who they are, a confidence in their own identity that is really coming into focus here within the last couple of weeks.
I want something to happen over the next few days. And I know it can't happen like it did down in the Orange Bowl in 2015, when Brent Venables' defense walked up on OU's bus and just started berating the OU players. However, some form or fashion, I want to see that take place, because that is so Brent Venables. That's Oklahoma. to be honest with you, that's Oklahoma. That's everything they've been in the past. It's everything that you think of. When you think of Oklahoma football, you think of just brash arrogance. The Baker Mayfields, Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts of the worlds, the Danny Stutzmans of the worlds, that brash arrogance, the Billy Bowmans that just talk. And then they go out there and they back it up. I can't imagine John Mateer to do it. Who else do we have tomorrow? Do you remember the four?
Tate Sandell is going to be available tomorrow. Yeah. Kendall Daniels and Jaden Jackson as well.
And the second I saw that list, I was like, there's nobody's going to say anything off kilt at all.
KD might. He probably.
Daniels might, but he'll do it in a very mature fashion. I guess Kobe McKenzie was about as far as we're probably going to get. And obviously Taylor Wine with, I just love that type of, in games like this where it's make or break, like say it with your chest. Like, how do you think this game's going to go? I love that part of the playoffs, that part of the bowl games, that part of do or die mentality in players. But I think Oklahoma's been doing that do or die mentality. And they talked about it today. Ever since the loss to Ole Miss, they've said that they've been in the playoff since that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're kind of, it's kind of like, okay, this is just the next thing. And who was it that said that today? Was that Wine that said it? Like
it was Wine that said it. Yes,
and it's like he's like, this is that we've been doing this for like 2 months now.
Man, in so many ways, this feels like a good old fashioned SEC smackdown, man. So much more so than it was the first time around, even because, yeah, that was a great football game, competitive football game, final possession football game. But I don't know that there was as much. I don't know that there was a level of hype going into that game that would lead you to feel as though, OK, like this is, I can't remember for the life of me what other games were on the schedule that week. But like, I don't know that the narrative was, oh, this is the best game in college football on this particular weekend.
Yeah.
Now you have two teams that are walking the walk and they're talking the talk and they're in the championship conversation and they play that rough and tumble smash mouth style of football. They both have quarterbacks that when they're on, they're really good, but have demonstrated some inconsistencies. Mateer more so than Ty Simpson, but Simpson has had his struggles, especially since that game, Oklahoma turned him over three times down in Tuscaloosa. And man, it feels like this is the game that we as the rest of the college football world deserve in the postseason, in the 12-team era. Like we deserve a good old fashioned SEC smackdown in the first round, if not later on.
For sure.
Two of the best brands in college football. Two of the most rugged, well-coached football teams in the sport going at it on the gridiron for 60 minutes, man. It's going to be fun.
It is going to be awesome. I'm so excited for Friday night. Game day, like we haven't even talked about it since game day got announced, which is, it's kind of going to be a weird game day because it's going to start 2 hours before kickoff, which means you're probably only going to get an hour of fans, but there are going to be so many fans.
Mm-hmm.
It might be the biggest audience they've ever had as far as like outside in an area because of how it's being set up. I guess they did this last year for Notre Dame in Indiana, right? They started on the outside of the stadium and went inside to finish the game day experience, which is really cool. Because that's when Shane Gillis and Nick Saban got after each other, if I remember correctly, which was one of the most iconic moments. What did he call him? It was hilarious, by the way. I watched it the other day, and it was freaking hilarious. But, I'm excited about that. I'm excited, Parker, to see the OU stadium in an atmosphere that this has to be the most epic atmosphere of all. Is this the biggest? I know number one versus number two has taken place, but it's never taken place this late in the game and late in the season where it's a do or die home game type of deal. I guess TCU in 2015, if OU loses, they're not going to the Big 12 championship or the playoffs, correct? Mm-hmm. They needed that, and Stephen Parker batted the ball down. But even that, I think OU went into that thinking they were going to win the ball game. This one has a little bit of a different vibe, Parker, like where nobody's talking about Oklahoma. Like when you talk about the college football playoffs, people bring up Oklahoma and they're like, yeah, I just don't think they have a chance. And then they're done talking about it. How much do you think? I know that's, again, like talking about that's being talked about inside the Switzer Center. Brent Venables brought that up, by the way, when he first met with the media. Remember how he felt disrespected?
Oh, yeah. And look, part of the art of being a great head coach is making your football team feel disrespected. Whether that is true or not, like Kirby Smart is a legend at this. Mm-hmm. Kirby Smart might be the best coach in America when it comes to making his team believe that they are subject to quote unquote disrespect. I really don't know that Oklahoma is being disrespected. I don't sense that that's coming from credible outlets or individuals or pundits, whatever the case may be. Like I don't really get the sense that there's this broad theme of disrespect with regard to Oklahoma. I think, you know, there are those that believe Alabama is going to win this football game, and I can certainly see the case, right? It's hard to beat a team twice. Alabama feels due to get their lick back after losing the last two to Oklahoma. And on the other side of things, you have the Sooners on their home field as opposed to having to go to Alabama's place this time around. So there's reason for increased confidence from the Oklahoma side. Like to me, there is no clear favorite in this football game. And that's what makes it particularly exciting, is that you're going to have the entire country probably split at about a 50-50 clip. You're going to have about half the country that believes Oklahoma wins this football game and about half the country that believes Alabama wins this football game. And it's going to be refreshing to have this type of what I expect will be a slugfest in a first round where you have the two G5 quote unquote cupcakes. And I'm not entirely convinced they're going to be blowouts, but we already watched Ole Miss and Tulane play, right? That was completely one side in the Rebels' favor. And James Madison is going to have to play the game of their collective life in order to keep pace with Oregon at minimum. So this is, in my mind, easily the best first round matchup of the slate, all respect to Texas A&M and Miami, but I think it's the most evenly matched. Again, you're talking about two blue bloods of the sport from the Southeastern Conference. It really doesn't get much better than this for a Friday night in December.
This game has a chance to go down. I think it's going to be one of those games, Parker, that finishes like last 6 minutes of the game and everybody's going, okay, who's going to win this ball game? Mm-hmm. It's going to be that close. Tension. Yeah, and I love it. I love it, but I don't. It's just because I would love to be able to already feel as if we could, you know, start scheduling to go play Mendoza and Mr. Heisman.
If only it could be that simple, right?
I know, right? In the most majestic setting in all of college football, but that's not how it works. They got to get through Alabama, and Alabama's really good. They may be ailing a little bit. I guess the biggest thing now is how much do you buy the back issues for Ty Simpson right now? Because I for me, yes, I think he's aching, but I think after 2 weeks, he's going to feel a lot better. Now, granted, it only takes one hit. When you have a back issue, one hit can really screw some things up for you and make it really not impossible for Ty Simpson to be who he usually is, but it can make it a lot harder for him. And I think that's where Oklahoma comes in with their physicality, with OU's defensive front, and can cause some chaos there. But do you buy that he is to the point where they're worried about how he's going to perform, much like he did in the SEC championship game? Because I don't know that I if I'm 100% buying it, but I believe there's some merit to some of it. Hey, Sooners and Sports Fans, we will get you right back to the podcast. But first, we want to give a huge shout out to one of our sponsors, SeatGeek. It is a great time to go and see live sporting events right now. On SeatGeek, you have great ticket prices going on right now for this Friday night's OU Alabama home playoff game. If not that game, maybe you want to go and support your OU men's and women's basketball team. That's right. They are the Bedlam champs right now. Maybe you like NFL and NBA, which is rocking and rolling right now. That's right. You can not only get OU college football playoff home tickets on SeatGeek, but you can also get NBA tickets for the hometown defending champs if you live in Oklahoma. You can also get World Cup tickets with one of the world's largest sporting events right down the road in Dallas this summer. With over 35 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one ticketing app. There are more than 70,000 events listed on SeatGeek, including concerts, sports, festivals, and more. SeatGeek is the official marketplace for the Oklahoma Sooners, so all Sooners tickets on SeatGeek are authentic and secure. I love using SeatGeek. I used it this past week to make sure we got college football playoff tickets for my family. SeatGeek is not just a place to buy tickets, but also a place to check and make sure you're getting a good deal on your purchase. So if you're wondering if you're spending too much or being overpriced, SeatGeek has your back. Each ticket is rated from a scale 1 to 10, so you know if you're getting a good deal. So look for the green dot, which green means good, or red dot, which means bad. Plus, every ticket is backed by their buyer guarantee. So after all of that, make sure you go to SeatGeek.com and use the promo code OUINSIDER. That's right. It gets you 10% off any ticket with the promo code OUINSIDER on your next ticket purchase. Make sure you click the link in the description, download the app below, and have that code automatically added to your account so you can use it later. Thank you, SeatGeek.
Yeah, like I've been led to believe credibly that he is dealing with back issues. Is it going to noticeably affect his play? I don't know, man. I mean, we all thought Bo Prabula was going to be substantially... We didn't even think he was going to play against Oklahoma. And not only did he play, but he looked like himself, what, 2 weeks?
3 weeks.
Maybe 3 weeks after a dislocated ankle. And so it's that time of year where, especially a competitor like Ty Simpson, man, he's going to leave that thing on empty at the end of the football game. He's going to burn whatever he has left in the tank. And so regardless of the extent of the back issues that he's dealing with, I don't think if you're Oklahoma, you can count on that dude being inhibited, because even if he is, he's probably going to make every effort not to show it. And there's going to be that extra rush of adrenaline because of the circumstances and playing on the road, playing in the college football playoff, having the opportunity to go chalk your spot in the Rose Bowl and face off with the number one team in the nation, the lone remaining undefeated team in college football, and the Heisman Trophy winner in Fernando Mendoza. So I think this is the type of football game where even if Ty Simpson's hurting, and I doubt he'll be the only guy on that football field in either uniform that's hurting,
right,
adrenaline's going to carry him through.
On the other side, there's the little matter of an R. Mason Thomas that OU fans and national media alike would love to see back out there. I still think he's going to try. Keyword emphasis on try, Parker, to give it a go. At least early on this week. I got a weird question sent to me, and I haven't had a chance to really dive into it, but I had a text in the last 24 hours where they asked me straight up, like, is he just going to set this one out and start preparing for the NFL? There's rumors going around about
that. Yeah, no shot.
That's what I told
him. No shot.
That's what I told him. I was like, there is zero chance that dude doesn't try to play right now. What do you think his percentages are? Like, no, we both think he's going to play. So what do you think he is health-wise percentage? Like, if you were going to put a percentage on his health, I would say 75, 80, maybe.
Yeah. Well, again, kind of the same spin I had with Ty Simpson. Like,
yeah,
I really don't think it matters. I don't think you're going to be watching the game thinking, oh yeah, our Mason Thomas is playing at 80%. Like, adrenaline is going to ensure that that dude is firing on all cylinders physically. That's what my expectation is. And yeah, may he be hurting? May he be playing through some pain with that strained quad? Sure. Sure. But he is the type of competitor, the type of relentless, high motor football player that is not going to let himself gear down, if you will, even if he is dealing with any lingering effects, from that strained quad that he suffered against Tennessee. Now, might Oklahoma have him on something of a pitch count to make sure that he can maximize his impact when he is on the field? Sure, and that's easier to do, Brandon, when you have other studs in the defensive end room that you can count on, like P.J. Adibawere and Marvin Jones. And obviously opposite him, Taylor Wine is going to command a ton of Alabama's attention as well. But I'm not really concerned about it with our Mason Thomas, because I think any limitations that are placed upon him on Friday are going to be placed upon him by the coaching staff in order to ensure that he can maximize his impact when he is on the field. Because obviously he's not going to be out there for every single defensive snap, but the snaps he is on the field, I expect that dude to be making some noise.
Two SEC teams are playing. And I know it's the college football playoffs. Do we get an availability report?
Yes, we do. We do.
Oh, yes. Yes, I love this so much. And
I believe with the game happening Friday, I believe the first availability report will actually be Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. So it'll be, and then it'll go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday instead of Thursday. Wait. It'll be a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday instead of, yeah.
Correct.
Instead of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yep. Cool. I like that. That's what I've been wondering that. And I meant to hit up Halk and ask earlier because it was two SEC teams playing and totally forgot. But that's awesome. That's great news. It's great news for the fans. Great news for the bettors. Great news for everybody all around. Because I think everybody should abide by the availability report rule. Do you not? Like, I think that is such a, I think it's such a cool feature that the SEC provides that a lot of other conferences don't, where you know what you're getting into come game time for the most part of every game. And I think that adds intrigue. It also adds more people want to watch if they know who's playing and who's not, instead of sitting around worried about going, oh, I'm not going to watch because that dude may not play. You're going to know one way or other how the matchup's going to go leading into that game. So I think I love that feature. Xavier Robinson, Torrey Blaylock, good news for Oklahoma. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, actually, to get better, more healthy. The second half without Xavier Robinson against Bama was rough to watch as far as the running game went, because it went from them moving the ball some with him to just, it was like non-existent at all after he got hurt against Alabama. Thank God for the defense once again. And OU's run game hasn't been the same since Alabama at all. They look like they got their legs, right? They look like they started to get going. Xavier Robinson was getting to go. He was getting 100 yards almost every game. And then, bam, he gets both of his knees shot, and he became more of a decoy. I do not expect him to be a decoy on Friday night, Parker. I expect a ton of 24 touching the ball. And I want to tell people something about him. Not only did he have injuries, he had some other stuff going on. And he's tweeted about it, him and his mom, and Instagrammed about it. But she's been going through a lot. So he's had a lot going on there. So I hope above all, hope that he has a big game. Because if anybody deserves it over the last month this dude's had, is Xavier Robinson. I mean, he's been going through hell with his knees, with his mother's situation. It just hasn't been great. So I really, really hope he has a big game. Torrey Blaylock's shoulder, Parker. I haven't heard a whole lot about him. I've heard more about Xavier than I have Torrey. Do you have any information on that at all? Like as far as where his shoulder is at, how it feels? Because he kept dinging it up against LSU. No doubt.
And again, it's that time of year where nobody is 100%, but he's going to be pretty dang close. And so, like you said, I think the time has passed us by for gamesmanship in a season like this. Smoke him if you got him. And you're going to be relying on the dudes that you know you can rely on the offensive side of the ball. And Xavier Robinson and Torrey Blaylock are those dudes. I have also been told that Javonte Barnes is going to be active for this game, and you will probably see him. I don't know how much you see of him. That probably depends on how Xavier Robinson and Torrey Blaylock are feeling throughout the game and whether one of them is really in a groove, if you will. But we know what value Javonte Barnes brings to the table, right? He's a good receiver. He's an excellent pass protector. Excellent pass protector. The best in Oklahoma's entire backfield. And so situationally, there will be opportunities to use Javonte Barnes. And so I would expect that you see at the very least a handful of snaps from number two on Friday.
Yeah.
So how about that?
That is, I totally makes sense. By the way, I just want to point that out to everybody because he gets to keep his red shirt. And these games do not count against games played towards your red shirt.
Yeah. Now to be clear,
I
do not expect to see Kendall Dolby, but Javonte Barnes is going to play. He's going to be active.
Didn't Kendall Dolby play against Alabama?
No.
He didn't?
He has not played since Texas.
Maybe it had been Kendall Daniels I was thinking about. Yeah, it was Kendall Daniels. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were talking. They said Kendall, and I was sitting there thinking Kendall Dolby in my head. On a play, they said that there was a botched coverage. I think it was Kendall Daniels. But yeah, that makes sense. I will go on the back end here and say, do not be shocked if you see Kendall Dolby return next season, which I thought was.
I'll say it. I would be shocked if Kendall Dolby returns next season.
Okay. Well, then that's changed in the last week and a half that I was told that, because about 10 days ago, I guess they were in negotiations because it's negotiation time for next season right now for everybody. While they're in the midst of preparing for a playoff, Oklahoma is negotiating for their 2026 roster, just so everybody knows. Up to that point, there were people in the Switzer Center that believed Dolby was going to return and be one of the Cheetahs. And they were like staunch about it, by the way. So that, I guess it is shocking to me since I was told otherwise, but again, that was almost 2 weeks ago, but yeah, dude, that's crazy. Isn't it crazy how times change? Because last year he was considered the best OU defender up to the Tennessee game.
Mm-hmm. And now think about it. He's the same guy. Like when he got back on the field, he wasn't. The only way in which he was noticeably different is the fact that he's bigger physically. Like he's added mass. He's added muscle. But other than that, he's the same Kendall Dolby, and now he's like, a fully healthy, fully available Kendall Dolby would be like, what, the seventh or eighth best defensive player on Oklahoma's roster?
It's crazy. Crazy how just 1 year changes everything. And it's essentially, people talk about it, it's the same roster outside of Kendall Daniels, right? And mm-hmm. Marvin Jones Jr. It's just like, how does that happen? Development. That's how that happens. While you're coming back from an injury, these other dudes are developing because they had the luck of being healthy. And that's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes, unfortunately. Offensively, you want to know what would be, I think OU fans, like, you might see Sexton, like, for the first time. I mean, he's been close for a while. Just had some setbacks here or there. Not his fault. I don't, they weren't his fault, I'll tell you that much. But this could get to where, of course, this was like last week when I was told this, that there's a decent chance they could have him in the rotation. Now, we'll see if that happens, obviously. But having more depth, and actually depth that can actually play well, is always a good thing going into the playoffs, particularly on the offensive line. And I know there'll be some OU fans who are like, why would you want him out there? He's a guy that can play four positions for you. Why would you not? And if he goes in there, you're not going to have a bunch of issues. He's going to be really good at what he does. So, yeah, the injuries, yes. Everybody knows he's had bad luck with the injuries. But when healthy, he is a good offensive lineman, a very good offensive lineman. So that's – I don't expect him to start. They're going to stick with what they've got. Their future right now, and everybody kind of knows it, is Fasusi, Foje, EPL, and Mikela, right? Like, that's their four. Whoever fills into that other guard position, it is what it is. Could that be Sexton? Of course it could be Sexton next year, and I think that would be a good thing for Oklahoma if that happened. However, transfer portal, Parker, how many offensive linemen do you think Oklahoma takes? I say two or three.
Two. I would say two.
Yeah. Yeah. How many receivers?
One. I think they take one receiver.
I think they take two.
And I think that, you know.
I think you take one big one, one other that can do other things.
Well, and Jim Nagy was on with Dari Noka the other day, and he said, look, we got to give some of these young receivers an opportunity to play. And I like the idea of giving some of these younger guys an opportunity to play rather than going to the portal for additional depth. I mean, you're thinking about guys like Jaden Petit, Elijah Thomas, Emmanuel Choice, Jasir Rogers, et cetera. So to me, hearing those comments, that suggests that, yeah, like, I think it's pretty well understood Oklahoma's in the market for a big, big fish at wide receiver. I would be surprised if they took another guy for the sake of just depth.
A name that isn't in the portal, I'll just say it because I think it's pretty well, everybody's kind of pointing to that name already publicly. No, it's not who everybody thinks I'm going to say, I guess. The person isn't in the SEC. The person is at Michigan. I think if he gets in the portal, I think Andrew Marsh is one that Oklahoma is very, very active with. If he gets in the portal. I'll just say I know Andrew's people. And if... It has to be, it is a conversation that he and his people are having right now because of the situation at Michigan. So that's not a secret. I'm not spilling tea of anybody or anything that wouldn't want it out there. But if that happens, considering Oklahoma's level of interest in him originally and his interest in Oklahoma, he wanted to be a Sooner. Like, actively wanted to be a Sooner. That dude wanted to be a Sooner so badly, but Oklahoma filled up their spot. They evaluated others a little bit higher than him. Fair or unfair at the time, but that wasn't. There's a different regime there that's doing the evaluation, and I can tell you that they're, everybody loves Andrew Marsh across the country, and rightfully, he's a freshman All-American. He was an absolute beast for Michigan this year. And so, yes, I think that would be up there. I keep getting asked the Cam Coleman question. Everybody's asking about the Cam Coleman question. That might be the most asked OU question on Twitter, Parker, on the message boards. Right now, that's a pipe dream. Wouldn't that be what you call it? Like a pipe dream at this point. I mean,
Cam Coleman definitionally is a pipe dream. Like, yes. Yes.
Yes.
If in much the same way that Dominic Williams was a pipe dream a couple of years ago, right? Like, it doesn't mean it can't happen, but
correct. Thank
just,
you.
But just calibrate expectations realistically here. You're talking about one of the absolute biggest mismatches at the wide receiver position in all of college football. It's a coup if you get the guy. So it is not impossible. It is also not likely.
There is another name out there. I'm not going to name it, but there's another one out there that has been strongly linked to Oklahoma if he gets on the portal behind the scenes. That said, another massive, massive pipe dream. I know your wheels are turning a little bit, but you know who I'm talking about. I believe.
Do. Yes.
Yeah. So it is just like, these are just the things that you all have to just get. I mean, we say that to tell you all to temper your expectations. Big fish means, and mind you, Andrew Marsh could turn into a Cam Coleman later on down the line, or whoever. I'm trying to think of somebody that could. Dallas, what's his name at Florida is another name that Dallas Wilson is another name everybody kind of points to. And that wasn't the name I was hinting at just a second ago. But there's those type of names. But that's kind of what Andrew Marsh could turn into for Oklahoma. That would be, could you imagine Satania comes back and you have something, another big fish to the other side of him. Plus you have Elijah Thomas, Emmanuel Choice, right? Jaden Pettit, Jazeer Rogers. Like, you're talking about, Parker, you're talking about a wide receiver room in 26 that could just be downright special.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day,
there's a lot to like. There's a lot to like.
I think Oklahoma goes with, tries to go after two tight ends. And I say that because of where Ryder Mix is at. Had he not injured his knee, I think they only go after one. But with that, I think they may go after two here to try to match up with Caden Helms and allow the young guys to develop a little bit before they throw them to the Wolves in the SEC. So, and then defensively, I think they go after a big name D tackle, a big name DN, like every year, like they always do. And after that, I think it's a crapshoot what they do. I think maybe one corner. I've been hearing buzz about maybe a corner, but a lot of that depends on who returns and who doesn't return at cornerback. So that's where that's in. By the way, OU won basketball.
They did. Impressive win for Porter Moser and crew.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it measurably changes my opinion of the team as a whole.
Right.
Feels like we get some fool's gold from Porter Moser's crew at least once or twice a season. And then, you know, there will be an inexplicable loss somewhere along the line. So it's probably sometime soon that reminds us, okay, this team is still a pretty middle of the pack team, but don't want to take anything away from what they accomplished yesterday at the Paycom Center. Great win. Great win.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is at this point. Any big recruiting news you want to talk about real quick?
I would prefer to instead direct people to OUinsider.com you can start out on a trial for only $1 to check out all of the recruiting intel that we have up there. Look, it's literally a no-lose proposition, folks. It's $1 out of your pocket. So take that dollar, go to OUinsider.com, sign up on a trial, check out what we got posted. If you don't like it, you don't think it's worth the investment, we're not going to force you to stick around. But as many have learned over the years, keeping up with what we do at OUinsider.com, there are many, many reasons to stick around and become part of a fantastic community of Sooner fans over there on the site.
For sure. As Parker said, $1 for the first few days. It's worth it. I promise. Right now, particularly because the transfer portal recruiting stuff, like Oklahoma is about to kick. You think they're on fire right now with recruiting? Oh, contraire mon frere. I am going to tell you all You have not seen anything yet. Just wait over the next few months. I promise you. I promise you. I promise you. And we have all that information over on OUinsider.com. VIP, all you have to do is type that in your URL, OUinsider.com. Go to that little green join now. Boom. It'll send you to where you can join for $1 the first week. Plus, you get The Athletic for a whole year if you join right now. Complimentary on OU Insider and on 3. Athletic has been pretty awesome with the reporting right now, particularly with the Michigan stuff that's going on, which we didn't touch on, and we'll touch on that later on this week a little bit as we get going further into this week. But, yeah, there's a lot going on at OUinsider.com. There's a lot going on right here on this channel, whether you're listening to us on a podcast platform or right here on YouTube, if you're looking at and watching us right now. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. We're almost at 23,000 subscribers on YouTube. Thank you so much. That is amazing. We're shooting for 25,000. Help us, help us, help us get there. OU fans, thank you so very much for everything you guys have done for us. We do it because of you all. We are so blessed to be able to do this job, and it's all because of you. Same thing with like, subscribe, give us 5 stars on whatever podcasting platform you listen to us on. Thank you all so much for watching this version of the OU Insider Under the Visor Sooners podcast, powered by Riverwind Casino. For Parker Thune, my name is Brandon Drum. You guys have a blessed day.